Hey, sports fans, it's world champion handicapper Mike North with your Las Vegas Monday Night Report. Document Nate 2 weeks 1 and 2. That's 80% winners. And tonight, guess what? I'm releasing Chicago, Washington. Huge information against the spread, and it's yours free on the recorded message line. Call 1-800-767-1622. That's 800-767-1622. Will it be my hometown, Chicago or Washington? Absolutely free on the recorded message line. Call now, 1-800-767-1622. Monday night under the lights, Mike North, that's me. I got you covered. Call 1-800-767-1622. Chicago, Washington is a monster. Rawr! I love the game. Huge sight in total. I love to go 2-0 Monday night. Call now on the free recorded message line. 1-800-767-1622. That's 800-767-1622. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
What follows is for news and entertainment purposes only. Any use of the forthcoming information in violation of any federal, state, or local law is prohibited.
Mike North, you are on fire.
You know anybody else that good?
No.
No, they'll tell you they are. They may think they are, but we're documented every single week. The eye is on us.
That's
and
right.
I ain't talking about the eye of CBS, the public eye. The first feeling I got when I won a bet was elation. The worst feeling was when I lost a bet and I wanted to jump off a balcony.
Give me a quick betting tip.
Yeah, do win and don't lose, but usually it doesn't always work out that way. How many times you heard this? I'm going to Vegas. I go, how'd you do? Well, if I lost $4,000, but you know, you go there to have fun. No, you go there to win. And that's what's wrong with people. They have the negative mentality in anything they do, including sports, before it even laid the bet down. So you got to be positive. Vegas Scores and Odds is the landing place that gave me an opportunity to handicap. They let me show what I could do, and there's packages, there's free picks. What does Vegas Scores and Odds do when you perform? They reward you, and they take care of you, and that's why we're ready to do this show.
The Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. That's right, Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage with Mike North starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and we have a lot of NFL talk ahead, including a preview of the Chicago Bears-Washington Redskins Monday night game. And we're also going to focus on the 7-3-0 NFL teams, and we'll also talk a little bit about the Detroit Lions and Minnesota Vikings, these NFC North teams who are playing quite well. At least well enough to have 2 wins in the first 3 weeks of the season. And we'll also see if Mike North is ready to read the last rites for the Chicago Cubs, who have now lost 6 straight games. Let's bring him in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
Oh, doing great, Aldo. What a read that was, that commercial tonight. Getting ready to preview Washington versus the Bears. Here on the Vegas Scores and Odds Advantage, make sure you follow at VSAO and follow Aldo Gandhi on Twitter, North to North, N-O-R-T-H, number 2, N-O-R-T-H on Twitter. Tonight we'll be giving blow-by-blow reports as far as who's going to be winning this game, what's going on with this game, and everything else that's involved. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that what I want when I read the commercial for Washington, the commercial read for Washington versus the Bears, I want people to feel that. That's what I want. I want people to feel what we're going on tonight. This is a huge game for the Bears. It's a monstrous game for basically both teams, but we don't care about Washington.
That's right. We don't care about Washington. For those people who are listening, other parts of the country outside of Chicago and around the world, yeah, we're
even in Washington. I want to let you know we don't care about you.
We love you.
Even though we want a wonderful clientele from all over the country.
That's right.
But guess what? I got the Washington game up. You don't know if I took the Bears or Washington. That's up to the system.
That is up to the system. And so what do you think about Eddie Pinheiro, who it appears like he's going to play. Matt Nagy sounded confident that he was going to play. So unless there's a setback, and we will know that by 3 p.m. Central, because that's when the Bears, that's the Bears' deadline for signing a replacement kicker. But if he, if Pinheiro goes and the knee starts to bother him during the game, then all of a sudden it's going to be Pat O'Donnell kicking for the Chicago Bears if they need a field goal and extra point.
Ooh. Well, first of all, I just saw that you put it up. I haven't heard from anybody else. I know that you're going on reliable sources, but my first reaction would be if he was hurt Friday, they already signed somebody if they knew he wasn't going to come. Sort of like how I felt about Teddy Bridgewater and then the other quarterback that they were going to decide on yesterday between him and the other guy for the Saints game. I knew that the guy would only play a handful of games. He went with Bridgewater. If Pinero's okay, fine. I don't want to, if he misses a kick tonight, it might be a convenient excuse. We won't buy it. And if the Bears knew about this Friday and Pat O'Donnell ends up kicking, which I doubt will happen, then that's going to be the story of the game, especially if they lose it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that Pinheiro will be okay for the game, although it was strange that he was asked for an interview by reporters around his locker room, and he didn't respond to anything. He just packed up his stuff, and he left. But Nagy did sound confident that he was going to go, so that's a storyline to keep watching. I got a feeling it probably won't be much of a storyline. He'll kick, and he'll probably do very well. But we'll keep an eye on it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, we'll know right away.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out as soon as the telecast starts. Like I said, I think he'll kick. And if he does, I expect him to kick well. Huge game for both clubs. Big game. Bears favorite. Gone up to 5 now on the Monday Night Football line.
Ooh, 5 points, huh? Wow. I wonder why
it started out 3, 3.5, then it went to 4, then it went to 5 now. Let me tell you, everybody, this is not last year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was the number one handicapper in the country. With Vegas Scores and Odds this week, I was 12 and 13 with the 25 picks I made encompassing all my platforms. So, you know what? But from what I've been seeing with the pickers in the Sun-Times and other places, I'm doing pretty good. Sometimes to be even is like a win, folks, early on in the season. And I'm 4-5 with the Vegas Scores and Odds crew here at Bears Byron with our picks. A lot of games left. A lot of things to go on. So far, we've only lost juice.
Yeah, well, it's always difficult to make these picks early in the season, which is why your 18-1 start last season was something for the record books.
Every handicap is different. Every handicapping season is different. For instance, the Cubs were in the playoffs last year, and now they're not going to be into the playoffs. Everybody, every year is never the same. I don't care if you're talking baseball, football, basketball, or wagering. You know, nobody. I've never seen anybody go 18-1-1, and I'll never do it again, and neither will anybody else that I know. So that was a once-in-a-lifetime meteorite. What we have here for everybody, and I know what all the handicappers are doing right now, is a lot of guys getting their brains handed to them right now, and I'm happy to be right where I'm at right now. Like I said, I was 1-2 on Bears Barroom and the Vegas Scores Advantage show, which makes me 4-5. On the odds couple, I'm 6-4, which is 60%, but I was 1-2 there too. So it's been a little bit crawl before you could walk.
There you go. All right. Let's talk a little more about tonight's matchup. Over at the Chicago Tribune, their writers were asked to finish this sentence, and so I'm going to ask you the same thing. Finish this sentence. On offense, the Bears, we need to see more blank. On offense, the Bears, we need to see more blank. So one writer, Brad Biggs, said we need to see more efficiency. Rich Campbell said more completions of at least 20 yards, which
that's mine.
There you go. That's mine, too.
Mine would be, I wouldn't say 20 yards, since he throws only 10-yard passes, anything over 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Because he only threw 7, and this is what I do, folks. You go, Mike, what do? You just lay around in bed all day. You're retired. You play your games and have a little fun, make a few picks here, go down. No, I'm on the – my nose is to the grindstone. They only passed the ball 7-8 times last week, as we had said earlier, over 10 yards. And he completed the last one, which was a big completion. So – That's what we want. Over 10-yard passes, more passes downfield.
Yeah, I'm with you there. This team has made a effort to surround him with as many offensive weapons as well as any team has, I think, for their quarterback. And he's got to start using these guys on the outside. The Allen Robinson has been his favorite target, but he's ignored some of the other players. And I think that also that it's not just on Mitch Trubisky, it's on Matt Nagy's play calling. He's been very conservative with Mitch. There seems to be some hesitancy there with having him throw some deep balls. So we'll see if he opens things up against a Washington Redskins defense that has not particularly played well for 60 minutes. So that'll be interesting.
You know what? I don't hear everybody being jacked up about this game. Opening day, everybody, yeah, Bears, yeah, all over social media. The bar room was all excited. Maybe it's early. But I don't feel the fan base jacked up. Maybe it's because we're playing Washington. Maybe because we expect to win. And we shouldn't. I mean, all I'm telling you folks is, you know what? We should win, but we shouldn't expect to win. Because, you know what? This is the National Football League. This isn't college football where Alabama's playing Middle Tennessee State at Cleveland, you know? So I don't sense the jacked up part of this whole situation right now. Am I misreading this, Alex?
No, I think you're absolutely correct, but I think that a lot of it has to do with disappointment by Chicago Bears fans at the caliber of play through two games. Now they're 1-1, but they could very, very easily be 0-2. Yeah, and you can make the argument they could be 2-0, because if the offense shows up against the Green Bay Packers in week one, then this team would be 2-0. But the fact of the matter is that the offense has looked putrid, and that's probably being kind. So I think that's tempered in the enthusiasm for many of the Bears fans who kind of, you know, pay casual interest to the team. And so if they Bears go out on ESPN Monday Night Football and put up a tremendous performance tonight, you're going to see next week's game against the Vikings, everybody in town will be talking about this. You agree with that?
Yeah. You know what I think it is? I think it's Washington doesn't have the name players they used to have.
Yeah.
Where are the John Riggins? Where are the Sonny Jurgensens? Where are the Bobby Mitchells? Where are the Charlie Taylors? You know, where are the Hogs? You know, a lot of, like, no-name people on the football team. I mean, the last time there was a big fuss about the Washington Redskins was when Jay Gruden got hired, or when there's nonsense like RG3, or with Daniel Snyder, who still hasn't reached the promised land. So I can't stress enough that the Chicago Bears, and don't let Washington fool you, folks. I've seen the last 2 weeks. The thing they've done is give up 42 points in the second half. So, you know, I see they've given up 42 points in the two games in the second half, yet I see the total only 41. So the odds makers, that's a horrible total. That's a 1990s total, basically, for teams that have no offense and decent defenses, especially with the way. But I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of games. Everybody thought the scores were going to be 65-64, and it hasn't turned out that way.
There you go. And Merv in the chat room says, you guys got it wrong. I am super psyched for this game. And he says that the first two games, he says, were anomalies. Green Bay is Green Bay, and the Broncos being coached by Vic Fangio made for two tricky games. Now, he thinks that tonight the training wheels are going to come off and this offense is going to explode. So we shall see. That's good wishful thinking. One other thing that I wanted to talk about regarding the Redskins is that Jordan Reed, their top tight end, is out with a concussion. He did not practice on Saturday. He's been ruled out. Now, Vernon Davis, the old veteran, is playing in his place, but he he's got some wear and tear on his body, although he's off to a good start this season. But I don't anticipate the tight end position being an issue for this Bears defense, because they're so good at covering even the finest tight ends in the league. But that's, you know, from the Redskins standpoint, the Jordan Reed injury, like you said, is huge.
Yeah, but is the tight end position for the Bears going to be an issue?
Oh.
I would tell you the Bear tight end issue is going to be the same thing as Washington's without Jordan Reed. In fact, I'd lean more with the KG veteran than with our guys right now. now, to be honest with you.
Right. I agree.
I mean, is Trey Burton playing? What's going on with him? I mean, ever since he had that thing last year in the playoffs, you don't know what to expect from him, and it's tough to play in the National Football League and have teammates when they look at you and say, can we count on the guy?
Yeah. Well, Matt Nagy did say over the weekend that the arrow is pointing up for Trey Burton, so unless there's some something...
What does that mean?
It means that he's getting better, that he's getting healthier. Groin injury that he had is getting better. So that's good because, you know, with Trey, there's always the concern that, you know, he could re-aggravate the injury and so forth. But let's remember, Trey Burton played 16 regular season games last year. He got this terrible reputation because in the biggest game in Chicago Bears' recent history,
right,
he got this mysterious injury like the day before
the
game.
It wasn't mysterious. It was something in his head or something.
That's what a lot of people are speculating. That's what a lot of people are speculating. But
I want to see him on the field. I want to see him produce. You know, I want to see that. You know what? We got to get all hands on deck. You know what? It's a huge game for Trubisky tonight. If he lays another egg, I mean, I said today on Twitter, and I'll go all day long. I'm the guy that said I didn't want no part of Cutler. I don't have to see a guy for years to see if I like him or not. I said right now, off of one game, that's me, and I'm usually take my time, I would trade Mitch for David Jones right now, for Daniel Jones right now, the Giants.
Ooh.
All I had to see is this kid play yesterday. 360 yards. You know, Mitch, his first game, 12 of 25 for 128.
Yeah.
This kid was lighting it up yesterday, running the ball, poised in the pocket. Everybody laughed at the Giants, and look what they got now. And you know what? All these people that said, why did they bring Eli back? What a teammate Eli Manning is. I mean, Eli Manning is doing everything he can to help the kid. He's a good teammate. He's a good mentor. He's getting paid $17 million, but I think he loves the organization, and I think he's going to be a lifelong Giant, and I think you might see him pack it in at the end of the year, maybe, and just say, so long, everybody.
Yeah, I'm with you there. You know what? Daniel Jones, first of all, a shocker, right? When he was picked, ninth overall by the Giants?
I think sixth overall.
Oh, six, okay.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Sixth to seventh, eighth, ninth, I don't know.
That makes sense. And so it was shocking. And so I was frankly shocked at how well he played in the preseason. He got a lot of snaps, and that's worked out well for him because, as you just pointed out, his game, week one or his first NFL start, he played well. He played well. And so I kind of sense that you might be ready to jump off the Trubisky bandwagon with another poor.
I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. I would just trade him for him right now. But the problem is the Giants wouldn't want Trubisky.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want Trubisky.
That's for sure.
And if the Bears, and that's the thing. But you know what? Mitch is a 300-yard game away tonight from everybody loving him again. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That is for sure. Now, the history of these two franchises doesn't look good for the Bears. They have lost like 7 in a row. They won two in a row in 2003, 2001, and then they lost another 6 in a row. So over the last 15 games, the Washington Redskins have beaten the Chicago Bears 13 out of 15 games. This game, because of history, and I don't know how your formula works, but because of the history of these two teams, I'm a little worried about the Bears going into a raucous Washington Stadium, whatever they call the stadium now, and coming out with a win, or at least covering those 5 points. I'm a little concerned.
Well, I will tell you this. I'll make you not concerned if you want.
Ooh.
And this is from Carmen DeFalco. This was on the Odds Couple this past Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen told me this. I didn't check it because usually he's reliable.
Oh, yeah.
In their last 17 games on prime time at home, Washington's 1-16.
Wow. Oh, I love that stat.
That's what Carmen told me. And so I would just say this. They haven't been very good themselves when it comes to primetime viewing. And not many primetime viewing. Just think of the years they had Colt McCoy and RG3, you know, Trent Green. Think of all those teams, you know what I mean, that absolutely sucked. And they were on Monday night, Thursday night, whatever, Thursday night, Tuesday night, who knows. See, I'm implementing. I'd like to see a Wednesday morning league, like a senior bowling league.
Yeah.
I'd like to see like one game a week on Wednesday morning for us shut-ins about 9 o'clock, an NFL game. Bears versus Washington, 9 in the morning on Wednesday. You don't want to know something? It would kick everybody's ass in the ratings.
I love it. I love the idea.
Right?
Yes.
Now, but that's what Carmen, maybe I heard him wrong, but I was like, wow, that's abysmal.
No,
that's worse than abysmal, you know?
Yeah, what's worse than abysmal? I don't know what it is, but it is that.
Dead. Basically dead.
Dead, right.
Absolutely.
Well, Greg Brax Jr. in the chat room says that he's heard that that place, that stadium tonight, is going to be filled with a lot of Chicago Bears fans, and that it might sound like a home game for the Bears, and that would be great news. Clearly, a lot of Washington Redskins fans are apathetic over what's been going on with
that. Where did we play the first game of the season?
Who? Where?
Where did we play the first game of the season against Green Bay?
Soldier Field.
Did that do us any good at all?
No.
With the raucousness, nobody was more jacked up about that than Greg and the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
And everybody in that stadium.
He was there.
You know?
Absolutely, yeah. You're that's a good point.
I don't go by that. I watched road teams win yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll tell you where it really is an effect on you is in college. I mean, my God, I'm watching some of these college games. I'm watching Georgia versus Notre Dame. And,
wow.
And you know, Notre Dame played good.
They did.
Notre Dame, and I had that game on Vegas Scores and Odds. Folks, go to Vegas Scores and Odds. You heard the commercial before. Check it out. Get the job done. We got the free line tonight on Vegas Scores and Odds. You know what? Tonight, check it out, 1-800-244-0710. That's 1-800-244-0710. And that will give you a free pick for tonight's game. So jot that down one more time, folks. This is the number they gave us on the commercial, 1-800-244-0710. So you know what? I don't go by that anymore, except maybe in college it can affect kids. But I don't think the pros even hear the – I don't think they even hear the fans anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really don't. I watched Seattle yesterday playing at Seattle.
Right.
Which was a great game with, you know, my guy, Russell Wilson. And you know, that's one of the loudest stadiums in the league. But I think that for regular season games – but for games that aren't prime time, I think even the fans tone it down sometimes. You know what I mean? I think the Thursday night fans go nuts. I think the Monday night fans go nuts. The Sunday night fans go nuts. I think the fans go nuts all around. But I think it's more tempered during the Sunday noon games and the 3 o'clock games.
Yeah, you mentioned that Seattle game. Let's go around the league and talk about some of these games.
Sure.
New Orleans Saints go to Seattle, one of the toughest places to play in the NFL.
With all that noise, and it did them no good.
Right. The Saints 33-27. Teddy Bridgewater did indeed play. He was a bit inaccurate at first, but got the job done. And I frankly was shocked that the Seahawks lost this game. I did not have a good weekend, by the way, in my pick'em league. Just
well, you know what? I mean, that's the way it's gone this year. But I had New Orleans on Vegas Scores and Odds. That was one of my plays. That was on the Odds Couple.
Awesome.
And New Orleans, I believed in, because Bridgewater does usually throw accurate, and he did eventually, and he likes to throw the 10 to 15-yard passes. He does manage the game. He can let it go every so often, but he also can run out of trouble. Seattle did try to come back. Seattle's not the same team they were, but they are 2-1. Russell Wilson is one of my – I mean, if I could have any quarterback in the league for our Bears and we'd have a shot at winning the Super Bowl, I'd take Russell Wilson.
I know.
If I could have any quarterback over Brady, over Rodgers, over all of them, this guy, I mean, I look at Seattle's team now, it's a shadow of what they used to be. No Sherman, no Marshawn Lynch. There's a bunch of guys gone, and this guy keeps getting it done.
Well, I gotta give you props on that. You've been a big Russell Wilson fan, for lack of a better way of putting it. Oh, yeah, because and you've said it for years now that Russell Wilson is a great player, and he's really lived up to your expectations. So.
Oh, he has. I love the guy. Look, the guy went from North Carolina. He went to Wisconsin, and one year they win it. They go to the Rose Bowl.
That's right.
Then he goes into the pros. All of a sudden, Seattle's great again.
Right. And that's,
you know,
and they
had, whoever heard of that? This guy just, wherever he goes, he wins, and they got a 2-1 record. And I'm looking at their team yesterday, losing to New Orleans. I'm going, how do they have a 2-1 record? Because of that guy. Because you have a dependable quarterback. And if you have a dependable quarterback, whether it's Brady, whether it's Wilson, whether it's Rodgers. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers. I don't see, I mean, people were predicted for 12 games, 12 wins, and you've heard me, folks. I tell Eldo. I go, I don't see it. I don't see it. They lost all sorts of guys. And all I see is this Aaron Rodgers there. And the common denominator is they have the franchise quarterback in the division, whether I like it or not.
There you go. Well, let's stay with Aaron.
That was strong.
Yes. Well, always, Mike. Always.
That was strong. Aaron Rodgers right now is proving his worth.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Let's talk more about the Green Bay Packers.
Did you hear your Don't let your disappointment go public. I go, Aaron Rodgers is predicting his worth, and you go, yeah.
No.
I'm not queuing up.
I'll tell you one thing. While Aaron Rodgers has killed the Chicago Bears, my favorite team, over and over and over again, I do have great respect for the way that guy plays the game of football. He is a Baryshnikov. He's just an artist back there.
All right, take it easy. Don't start. All right, here we go. I bring the guy up, and now he's Baryshnikov. You know, the next thing you know, he's going to be the rifleman with Chuck Connors. You know, he's going to be – you know what? All I'll say is this. Not only has it been Rodgers that killed us, we can go back to Favre. We can go back to Bart Starr. Anytime they have a franchise quarterback, we don't.
Yeah, it is very true. Now, Rodgers, after the game, in that win yesterday, what was the score of that game? Or I just had it and I lost.
Oh, they covered the spread. They beat Denver's brains, and I think it was 29-17. I don't have the scores right with me right now.
27-16. And so Rodgers.
Oh, what are those? It was the 9 was upside down. That's right.
There you go. And Rodgers was very, very complimentary about the offensive line. And they've got a game on Thursday, and this is what he said after the game.
I have to say, this is one of the cleanest games my jersey has ever looked. I took basically one shot. I hit the ground one time. So I'm ecstatic. I mean, I've been at this for a long time, and to go home with my body feeling this good is a credit to the offensive line for sure.
That is also, I think, a credit to the new offense that Matt LaFleur has installed with Green Bay, where they're asking Rodgers to get rid of the ball more quickly. Now, Rodgers is Rodgers. He's going to do whatever he wants, and sometimes he holds on to the ball way too long. But I think that the biggest thing that's gone on with this offense now is the protection that Rodgers is getting, and he becomes a very, very dangerous quarterback when he isn't being hit in the backfield. And this upcoming game Thursday night against the Philadelphia Eagles, who are disappointing with their play, looks like it could be another win for the Packers. We will see. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know what? Right now, I would say let's not count your chickens before they're hatched. I mean, the Bears are laid an egg. We know that, but Green Bay definitely is right. But the Philadelphia fans and the press are going to be all over the Eagles. They laid an egg. And how about the Detroit Lions? How about the Detroit Lions, folks? I mean, now they're viable. And not only do we have to worry about Green Bay, we have to worry about Detroit, we have to worry about Minnesota.
Yeah.
All the teams in the Bears division won yesterday. That's how important this game is tonight. Mm-hmm. This is a big, big game. It's not a division game, but you know what? Doesn't matter. You know what? If you lose all your out-of-division games and you win your division games only, you're not winning.
Right.
You got to win them both. So that's what they got to do. They got to win them both. The Green Bay, yeah, don't count on them losing this coming week, because you're right, Aldo. Philadelphia losing to Detroit was a wake-up call, I think, for ego management.
Yeah, it really is. Carson Wentz has not looked good. Matthew Stafford, after that win against the Philadelphia Eagles, was just excited about the fact that he says the Lions are not playing well, but yet they have not lost a game this year. This is what he said.
Well, I think it's good to get wins, not playing your best football. You know, I know that we haven't played our best football. You know, I think we had too many procedural penalties on offense. I think we gave them 2 first downs on defense with procedural penalties. But, like, we just kept battling, you know, and finding ways to win while you're getting better as a football team is a good thing. And, we're doing it against good football teams too. You know, every team in the NFL is a good team. You go on the road and beat a team like Philly at their place in a tough fashion like that, we'll take it.
I'll tell you what, Mike, it did seem to me like the Lions were doing everything possible to give that game away to Philadelphia with some of the decisions by Matt Patricia and so forth. But got to give them credit. The Lions are 2-0-1 this season, and they've got a bye next week, which is Stafford wasn't too happy about having a bye early in the season like that, but it certainly isn't going to hurt them, that's for sure. It gives them time to regroup and take care of some injured players and get ready for more action in week 5 or 6.
They don't want to regroup because the group they got now is doing good. The problem is the bye does come. You're right. There's been other years they can't wait for the bye. I think the fact that they're undefeated. I had brought up that, you know what, I love Dak Prescott. He's doing a very good job, no doubt about it. They played a decent game yesterday. They didn't cover, by the way. They did cover. But I will tell you this. I had said I'll take Matt Stafford. I think I said it on this show. I'll take Matt Stafford for the Dallas Cowboys and give them all those pieces. Matthew Stafford does not have a lot of the pieces that the Dallas Cowboys have, yet they're 2-0-1. Now, you're right. Not only did Patricia make some questionable calls yesterday, but Stafford made some late-game mistakes, but he overcame them. And the pass, that has bit him in the rear end. So, you know what? That's got to be refreshing for Detroit fans, and the Detroit Lions fans wake up this morning with 2 wins.
I'm shocked that they are 2-0-1. I had them picked for cellar dwellers in the NFC, and who knows, they might could eventually sink to the cellar, but they are. It's impressive when you don't play your best ball and you come away with 2 out of 3 wins and are winless. So it's not bad at all. And they could easily be 3-0. They had that tie at Arizona where they really blew it at the end there, and I thought they were going to blow it again, but got to give them credit where credit is due. They are 2-0-1. Now, you mentioned...
How about the 49ers? How about them? 3-0. I mean, you know what? I mean, you look at these teams that we disregarded. Between Detroit and the 49ers, there's not a loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going all over the place here. I'm trying to... I'm like,
what do you mean? I'm just going up. I'm just saying. Oh, you mean for the cuts? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You're looking for your. By the way, you are doing a tremendous job on the cuts.
Thank you.
That's but like, as soon as I heard the, thank you for coming by.
Shit, I'm looking for my next cut, and then he goes over to 49ers. I have the.
Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to do.
No, no, no.
Should we go by division?
No. You do. I follow.
The life of an executive producer with me has never been a charmed one.
I follow your lead.
There's a million of them. They're walking around in daisies. Ask Jesse. Jesse had hair when I started working with him.
I got to call Jesse. We're probably going to get the... I need to find out what shrink he saw.
Oh, my God. Oh, we had a good time. You know, I mean, I'll tell you what. The producers are the backbone. That's it.
Oh,
just like
goodness.
You, backbone.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'll let you steer the show.
Please, please do not apologize. This is your show. I follow your lead, and your lead was talking about the Cowboys. Dak Prescott, after the game, was talking about the weapons that he has. I mean, he had 2 100-yard rushers yesterday. Tony Pollard, the backup running back, ran for over 100. And then Ezekiel Elliott also had 100. This is what Dak Prescott said after the game.
His compliments to the whole offense, especially those two guys just running with the passion that they do and the effort that they do, trying to get each and every yard, our offensive line blocking down the field. It's credit to this offense. When you can do that, when we can throw the ball like that and just open this thing up, it'll, as I said, that run just opens up the play action and it just allows us to be dangerous from every aspect.
Oh, man, that is so important to an offense. When you get that running game going, all of a sudden you do that fake handoff and there's wide receivers wide open in the middle of the field. Man, I wish the Bears would do that.
If you were going to ask me, who's going to be the NFC representative right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'd take Dallas. I would take Dallas. They've looked the most complete to me so far. And don't kid anybody. Jason Witten coming back was huge for this team. He's made some huge catches the first 3 weeks. He's a safety net for the quarterback for Dak. And I think that was a huge coming out of the broadcast booth, which was – great for all of us concerned, but also great for him to come back and try to finish out his career and maybe get a Super Bowl. This team, I think maybe Witten saw it, and maybe he said to himself, I don't want to miss the party. This could be Jerry Jones' best team that he's ever had, outside of the ones with Jimmy Johnson, of course, when they first started.
You aren't kidding. I mean, this is a franchise that went through a long period of time where they were making terrible player personnel decisions, but lately they are hitting on everything. They make a trade for Amari Cooper, and he's a great complement to Dak Prescott.
They laughed at him. They said Amari Cooper was basically done.
Yes.
He was like a possession receiver. I'm watching the guy yesterday. He's catching balls all over the place.
Yeah. Excellent acquisition. I kind of laughed at them when they picked up Robert Quinn. I thought he was, you know, too old to be of any good. Yesterday, he gets two sacks.
I'm watching the guy yesterday, and he's chasing the quarterback down like a lion on a flamingo. I'm telling you, you're right. Jerry Jones was throwing cold dice for about 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Could never get right after the Jimmy Johnson debacle. Johnson's always gotten that credit. Believe everybody when I tell you this. He did win with Switzer, but with Johnson's team, this would be Jerry Jones' sweetest accomplishment to win a Super Bowl on his watch without Jimmy Johnson around.
Yeah, you are so right about that. And James Kessel, a good friend of the show, loves to listen to you. He and I were talking about not only he loves this show, but how much he loves the show with you and Carmen, the Odds Couple. And he,
thanks, Jimmy.
And he was saying, you know, when Mike talks about the Dallas Cowboys, I find myself agreeing with every single thing that he says. He's just nailed it with his opinion on the Cowboys. And I'm with you here. As much as I dislike that franchise, they are on a roll and look like a strong postseason contender. That is
and
for
their
sure.
defense, as long as Sean Lee, look at every time they start to get on a roll with the defense, and thanks for the compliment, James, but every time they get, then Sean Lee gets hurt. He gets a concussion. He hurts his shoulder. I'm watching these guys yesterday, like Quinn, and they're running all over. They're running to the football, and you're right. The play-action passing with 200-yard – I mean, Pollard, and let's give the offensive line credit.
Oh, my gosh.
Ezekiel Elliott ain't rolling over people. He's running through lanes as wide as 90 over here. You know, the mm-hmm. Kennedy. Are you kidding me? The Eden. He's going crazy. He's running up these big lanes, and that's just making it easier for Dak.
Yep. They have done such a great job in building an offensive line that opens up holes for the running backs, gives Dak Prescott time, and they've taken risk. Like this kid, Lael Collins, he was in the draft 4 or 5 years ago. On the day before the draft, there are some accusations made about him that were proven to be false, and it ended up being great for the Cowboys because Collins dropped to the second or third round. They selected him there when he looked like he was going to be a top 10 draft pick. So they get Collins, and he's just been as steady as projected. He's stayed out of trouble, and the accusation against him again was proven to be false. So they took chances, and they have just developed a really dynamite team.
How about Jason Garrett?
Oh yeah,
nobody's complaining about him now.
Exactly. How many? Almost every.
Nobody's saying a word. They're calling the right plays. I don't know what they're going to call. Look, I watch all the games, folks. I watch them all. I don't miss anything, and I'm telling you. I used to be able to predict when they were going to do this. You can't predict it now. They just got everything set up for them, barring injury. But even if you were to get some guys hurt, they got some depth on this team, too. That's a lot of things. That's what the Bears don't have. That's what a lot. If you look at the bulk of your National Football League teams, check out their second-string players sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see. The New England's of the world, the Dallas's of the world this year, and other teams. You know why Dallas has been bad in the past? Because they didn't have depth. And now they got depth. They got stars. They're filling up that stadium. I mean, they just look like the team right now to me that I think if Philadelphia is their standard bearer in that division, look out for Dallas, Philly.
Yep, there you go. Now, you mentioned the San Francisco 49ers and the surprise of them being 3-0 at this point in the season. They are going into a bye with a 3-0 record. Jimmy Garoppolo, after the game, commented on what this team is starting to feel and gel like.
That's kind of what I was saying before, just the mindset of the locker room. It's, you know, complimentary football, especially, I mean, when we turned the ball over early and they only got 6 points, I think, out of it. And then K'Wan gets the huge interception at the beginning of the second half. We go down and score, all that stuff. It's just that's how you create a good football team. And, you know, we're getting there.
What do you think about this team? Do you think they're going to be able to maintain a winning fashion after they come back from the bye? Do you think that they are a legit contender? Because my gut feel is that they've gotten really lucky. I mean, they play a Steelers team that doesn't have Big Ben. They're at home. They almost blew the game. So they kind of eked out a win, and then their two other victories weren't exactly, you know, masterful.
Is that what we do if we're 3-0? Do we start figuring out how we shouldn't be 3-0?
Yes.
We never do that. If we were 3-0, we'd say it. Here's what I'll say, Aldo. You're right. They've been lucky, but you know what? They've also been resilient. They've also got a quarterback now that they believed in. They got a system. They're coming back slowly. I'm not saying, hey, they're capable of losing 5 in a row. I had them yesterday on the money line against Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's absolutely finished. I said that not only on this show, but I said that on the odds couple last week with Carmen. Mm-hmm. And I've been telling Carmen since game one that they were finished. I mean, you can't lose as much of a piece of you-know-what Antonio Brown is. You can't lose the type of players that Pittsburgh's been losing. And lose Big Ben, lose Antonio Brown, lose Le'Veon Bell, and expect to be viable.
Yeah,
you lost your three. Believe it or not, folks, if the Chicago Bears lose Allen Robinson, Mitch Trubisky, and another stud on offense, you know what? It the same thing would happen. The same thing would happen. Not that we're doing anything magically with the offense we have now, but those are three of our better players.
Would you what about the Patriots? If that were to happen with the Patriots where they lose Tom Brady, you think the wheels fall off?
Well, no, because I remember they lost Tom Brady and Matt Castle with 11-5.
Yeah, that's right. And remember when Jacoby Brissett, who is now quarterbacking for the Indianapolis Colts and looking pretty damn good, he stepped in for a game or two for Brady and did okay in his rookie year? So, yeah, I mean, I think the Patriots, of course, are an anomaly. This franchise is just so unbelievably well run, I guess you say. I mean, how can you argue with that? Despite the issues that they've had with some players, the Patriots franchise is just remarkable with what they do.
That is remarkable. They've made their share of mistakes. They've had some really weird things like the Aaron Hernandez situation. Gronkowski retires. Josh Gordon on his 12th comeback attempt. Antonio Brown, who's the dumbest man, not in America, but in the world. he's out of control. Believe me, folks, he's out of control. Nobody can stop him. He's tweeting out. He's insulting the owner of the Patriots after the guy tried to save his career. So, they still keep ticking.
Yeah,
they still keep ticking, and that's just the way it is. As far as San Francisco's concerned, John Lynch believed in Garoppolo, and Garoppolo got hurt last year. Whenever you lose your quarterback, that's going to cause problems. This year, he's healthy.
There you go. All right. You know, Tom Brady has a radio show on Monday mornings, and he was asked this morning about the Antonio Brown situation, and if he wanted to comment on it, this is what he said.
Right. I do have a lot of personal feelings, you know, none of which I really care to share. So that's about it.
But he was pressed on it a little bit more, and this is what he said.
I'm not going to add on. I'm not going to be a part of this culture that can become very negative, can become very blaming, very much point fingers. Because I think as a parent, what responsibility do we have to teach our children? What society do we want this to become? You know, how do we choose in the role that we have to make a difference, to contribute in a positive way?
What do you think about him biting his tongue and not saying anything about Antonio Brown in his words there?
You know, I heard Lebatard say that a tweet that Tom Brady sent out was supportive or something that he said, and he read it. Mm-hmm. And after Lebatard read it, I go, I don't know if it's supportive. I from that statement, could you tell he was supportive of either side? I think he was disappointed.
Yeah.
I think he's disappointed what happened. I think he feels bad for Antonio Brown. But I think that if he says that, he'll take a backlash, a huge backlash. Because Antonio Brown has caused Antonio Brown's problems, period, end of story. And I also know this, that he likes Robert Kraft a lot. He loves the guy. And Antonio Brown said some disparaging things about him. So I don't know where everybody's getting the idea that he's siding with Antonio Brown. I think he's basically in flux on this. And he's disappointed in how it turned out. But, I mean, you know, Tom Brady, you know, I don't need him to preach. Go out and play football like you always do and do the best you can. And he is a good parent. But, you know, what are you going to do? You could be a good parent. Antonio Brown's in every newspaper and on every TV show in the country if you follow sports.
Very true. Very true. Now,
what did you get from that?
Well,
that he was on his. Because I didn't. I heard Lebatard say it. And I'm saying, well, okay, I heard him read something. And whenever somebody reads on the air more than four or five lines, it becomes redundant. And it started to become redundant.
Yeah.
But he sounded like he was backing Antonio Brown. And I didn't sense that. I sensed a more overall disappointment.
Yeah, I think that Brady was not happy that Antonio Brown attacked Robert Kraft, who gave him an opportunity to. Yeah, gave him an opportunity to come to New England, gave him a $9 million signing bonus, and basically, you know, he says some unkind things about Robert Kraft, and I think Brady was upset about that, but did not want to share his feelings about that publicly.
Yeah, I didn't get where everybody said that, where, not everybody, but where a few people said they thought he was an Antonio Brown guy. I didn't sense that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get that either. I think he's upset with Antonio Brown, but he doesn't want to go public with his comments. Now, Ryan Clark, a former teammate of Antonio Brown on ESPN's First Call, did go public with his thoughts and said that Antonio Brown needs to learn something about taking responsibility.
Because once you accept responsibility, now going forward, you understand that your actions have to change what happened in the past and fix it going forward. When you send out text messages while you're on the New England Patriots, it's only compounding a situation that may not be your fault. But now, by you not taking responsibility, the action of today, the action of the present time is what has you sitting at home.
There you go. Ryan Clark letting Antonio Brown know that he's sitting at home now. He actually enrolled into a college course at some small college.
So. I saw that.
So he's,
but you know what? It's sort of like Ryan Clark is saying that there's some problems that maybe he did not cause. Well, who tweeted?
Well, yeah.
Who tweeted?
Right.
Ryan, I don't want to hear it. I really don't. Antonio Brown is a piece of you-know-what right now. And I don't know why there's still people out there that are hedging their bets with this guy. I know he's got tremendous talent, but he's a runaway train, man.
It really is. And I can't understand why there are apparently some teams showing interest in Antonio Brown, with the caveat that they need to see some police records and so forth. But I wouldn't even want to entertain the thought of having
that
guy.
Agent. His agent's going to say that.
Oh, okay.
Though.
Yeah, it would make sense.
I don't think any team wants to be identified as a team that wants him right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's poisonous for any franchise to even entertain the thought of that going on. Now, another surprise team that is 3-0 are the Buffalo Bills. Did you ever guess that that was going to happen, Mike?
Well, I had the Bengals. I had the Bengals getting six. So it worked out for both. But Josh Allen is turning into another guy that people at first poo-pooed, and now he's getting the job done. They're playing good defense. They aren't an overly exciting team, but they're a methodical team, fundamentally sound team. So I'm very happy for Buffalo. I think they're some of the best fans in the world. They're stuck up. I knew a guy from Buffalo when I was in the service. I said, "How's Buffalo?" He goes, "The sky's yellow. That's all you have to know." I go, "Okay, thanks. Nice meeting you." I mean, not very happy people. They have the Buffalo Bills as their only franchise. Those guys are the movie stars of that area, Yeah. You know, where we have here in Chicago, the Cubs, the Sox, you know. Those guys, it's a small community, somewhat like a bigger Green Bay.
Yeah.
Well, and they lived like kings when it was Thurman Thomas and Jim Kelly and Marv. I've talked to Marv Levy about it, God bless him, at events. They were treated like kings. They were the only game in town.
That is the weirdest franchise in the NFL because they've lost those Super Bowl games and, you know, in such heartbreaking manner. And like you said, it's the only thing that they have. So it's not like they can go, "Well, look, we'll go see the minor league hockey." No, there's no minor league hockey. There's nothing.
It's not like the Cubs will say, "Here come the Bulls." Or it's not like the Bulls when we say, here come the White Sox, or it's here come the Hawks. Mm-hmm. Here's the bad part for Chicago. Here come they all. That's all I'm going to tell everybody. Sometimes we don't want to see any of them, and right now's that time. except the Bears tonight.
There you go. And the Bills head coach yesterday, to kind of lend to what we're talking about with the bad vibe that always seems to surround Buffalo, after the victory, the Buffalo media, was peppering him with questions about the mistakes that happened here, the mistakes that happened there, and so forth. And McDermott, you know, handled it like a pro, but you could almost tell that he was starting to get irked by it. Here's a soundbite.
"I'm not going to add on. I'm not gonna..."
That's not Sean McDermott. It's
Who was that?
That was Tom Brady.
Oh, Tommy.
Here's Sean McDermott.
"No, we talked about, number one, we celebrated the win because it's hard to win in this league, really hard to win in this league. And it's hard to win when the momentum has changed like it did. And we talked about heart, Jerry. That's what we talked about, man, because it's great to have heart, isn't it? Great to have heart, man. You win with heart. And I'm proud of those guys, man."
And that is, and I appreciate McDermott saying that, because sometimes teams that don't have heart, when something goes wrong, all of a sudden it quickly avalanches, a little snowball of a mistake, all of a sudden becomes a huge snowfall, an avalanche, because guys don't have heart, because guys quit, because guys allow negativity to soak in. And the Bills, with their 3-0 record, are proving right now that that's a team with heart. Good for them.
Well, here's what I would have said to the writers. How many of you guys picked, and you know me, Aldo, I would have already known what the writers picked for the season for the Bills. I would have read them all. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then I'd say to them, "And how many of you guys picked us to be 3-0? And if I saw one hand up, I'd say you're a liar. Period. So you can pick all you want. We're 3-0. And he was very polite about it. I would have gone a little Ditka on him. And God, how many of you didn't pick me for 3-0? How about you, pal? You didn't pick me for 3-0. So I give the Buffalo Bill coach credit, and good for Buffalo right now.
That's why I am still harping on this idea that you need to be hired as the communications director for a professional sports team. And you, instead of the coach or the manager answering these questions for the press, you go out there and you set these guys straight. I would love to see
that. Right. You guys are telling me we did this wrong, we did that wrong.
I love it.
You had us at 1-2, pal. Now we're 3-0, and you're going to give me crap? I'll give you crap for picking us 1-2. You had a bad 3 weeks, buddy. Period. And you're going to give me crap for being 3-0?
That is so good. All right.
Come on.
Steven Zim Zimmerman in the chat room is correcting me.
I love Zim.
He's correcting me, saying that there is one other franchise in Buffalo, and how could we forget, Mike? The Buffalo Sabres.
Oh, the Sabres.
The Sabres, yes.
I love the Sabres with the cross. I used to love their unis with the Buffalo and the cross swords.
Great uniforms. Beautiful. Yes.
Beautiful uniforms. God bless them.
Yeah, and back when I paid attention to every single NHL game going on, they had Jill Perreault. They had really good, strong teams, but I don't think they've ever won a Stanley Cup.
They had Rick Martin, Jill Perreault.
There you go.
I remember, listen, I remember when they had the Buffalo Braves and Bob McAdoo in basketball, the NBA.
Oh, and then they moved to Seattle, I think, right?
They had Ernie DiGregorio.
Oh, my goodness,
How did Buffalo blow that?
Yeah.
My God. Yeah, I mean, they actually lost teams. That hurts.
Well, it's because the sky is yellow. That's why nobody wants to live.
The sky's yellow. They were talking about playing after games in Toronto. I remember the White Sox did that in the 70s. They played some of their games in Milwaukee.
Yeah, right. I remember that,
Total.
Too.
Yep. Total.
All right, we got to turn our attention to that game between the Ravens and the Chiefs. The Chiefs now move to 3-0. What a game, 33-28. Patrick Mahomes throws for 3 touchdowns, 374 yards. Lamar Jackson did not have a touchdown pass, but he played well, throwing 22 out of 43 for 267 yards. He did run for 46 yards. This is Andy Reid. After the game, talking about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
First of all, that's a good football team there. And their two big passing plays were really what makes that quarterback great. I mean, he put it up in bad conditions, you know, but made plays. So he's a heck of a player. John Harbaugh's done a great job with that team over the years. I think this is his 11th year, but I'm proud of him.
John Harbaugh is part of that Andy Reid coaching tree. He worked for Andy Reid, I think, in Philadelphia. So did you get a chance to see any of that game, Mike?
I saw the game. It was beautiful. I had the win in that one, and I got it at 4.5. But listen to this. Earlier in the week, they were 5.5, and you could have gotten them at 5 and won both sides. You could have had Kansas City minus 4.5. And then you could have had the Ravens at plus 5.5, and if the game landed on 5, you win both ends.
Wow! So, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's exactly. And you want to know, that's called middling in gambling. So if you did that, you could have done that. And I'll tell you this: what he described with the quarterback of Baltimore is his own quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. To me. He's the most important quarterback in the game.
Agreed.
Right now. And even more important than Brady, even more important than Rodgers, because I think if Brady goes down, New England could still hold their own, not win at all. If Green Bay goes down, or if Rodgers goes down, we know what happened to Green Bay when he went down. But if Mahomes goes down, I mean, are you kidding me? The only named player they really have is Travis Kelce. I mean, it's a no-name crew, isn't it, Els? Give me 5 Kansas City Chiefs. Name me 5 of them.
Well, I'm looking at the box score right now, so I can do that.
Well, that's just great. Well, congratulations. Now you can tell. Who are these people? Name them off. Name the receivers off.
Well, they've got Watson, the kid that they traded with Buffalo. They picked him up, and he's a pretty
good. Danny Watson, who couldn't get out of his own way in Buffalo.
Exactly. They got at running back, they've got LeSean McCoy,
LeSean McCoy, who was considered finished at Philly and Buffalo.
That is true.
Well, no, that's what this quarterback does. He makes everyone around him not better than they actually are.
Yeah. You know what?
Remember when they used to say about Jordan the first 4 or 5 years? Oh, he can't make anybody better around him. He's just an individual player. Then all of a sudden, everybody got better around him.
Yeah.
That's what happens with Mahomes.
That is so true.
And that's what happens with the great quarterbacks.
Yep. That is very, very true. I got a soundbite here of Patrick Mahomes talking about this being his second year and how that has helped him progress as a quarterback.
Yeah, I think just being on the same page as Coach Reid, knowing why he's calling the plays that he calls, having answers. They got me on a few pressures today as far as they were flipping the pressures and getting me, but at the same time, I was able to adjust quicker and kind of have more success earlier in the game.
So he is even a better quarterback this year because he knows what is going on inside Andy Reid's head, and he's making faster decisions when he gets into trouble. That's what we should be seeing out of Mitchell Trubisky, and hopefully we'll start seeing it tonight.
Well, I'll tell you what, I thought he looked better last year, Mahomes, than he does this year.
I know.
And Mahomes looks great this year. So, you know, he could think what he knows and knows what Reid's thinking and everything else. But, I mean, this kid, no matter who's calling the plays, is going to get it done. Great escapability, great arm, can throw on the run, can throw to his left, can throw to his right. So, I mean, he's just a fantastic, fantastic talent that the Bears didn't take because we had to move up for Mitch.
Yeah. Now, the Giants won their
first. You got to keep Ovid from that little shot.
Well.
Can you believe we moved up? How about, did you watch my guy Watson yesterday? Of course.
Yeah. Well,
another guy.
What happened in that game? I was watching it, but I didn't see the final.
They won.
Oh, 27-20.
He brought him back.
Yes, he's something else, Mr. Deshaun Watson.
Yes. We need Mitch to have a big game for our own calmness.
Oh my gosh, you ain't kidding. We really
do. Wouldn't it be great Wednesday when we do Vegas Scores and Odds at 3:00? To talk about how Mitch went 23 of 34 for 312 yards and 2 touchdowns,
yeah.
No interception.
Yeah, I would love that. I would love that. Absolutely.
Someday that will happen. You'll see.
Well, here's bad news for the New York Giants. It appears that Saquon Barkley is going to be out at minimum 4 to 6 weeks. They say it could even go longer. They have their bye week 11, and so they might be targeting that after the bye for him to come back. It's too bad because they win their first game with Daniel Jones at quarterback. What do you think about what is this going to do to the Giants as they go on now? Their next game is against the Redskins. Then they got the Vikings. Then they got the Patriots. I wonder what the over-under on that one is going to be. Or the line.
Well, you know what? They key off on the kid, knowing that Barkley's not back there. They'll have another running back there.
Yep.
But, you know, they'll be able to tee off easier on the kid. It was impressive because Barkley got hurt. You know, he'd get hurt at the end of the game. He got hurt around the middle of the game, and they won it despite of that. So, and don't forget, the kid ran. They got a running quarterback now. Barkley was, look, he's important. He's he's one of the top two running backs, him and Elliott, in the game. But with Manning back there, losing Barkley would be a death knell. With this kid, he can run the football too, which gives them another option, if you will. You don't want to see him do it. You want to see him stay upright. The last thing they need is for him to get hurt, even though they have the most expensive backup in the National Football League.
Indeed. Now, what do you think about Cam Newton already being ruled out for next week's game for the Panthers? Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that his replacement, Kyle Allen, threw 4 touchdown passes and no interceptions yesterday in a win over the Cardinals, 38-20?
You know what? I mean, it's sort of like human nature. You want your team to win if you're Cam Newton, but that's the last thing you wanted to see. You're happy for the guy, probably, but inside your own pride is saying, what am I not doing? How did this happen? Why are they performing better for him? Why haven't I recognized it? He's watching TV. Or he's at the game. I don't know if he's up in a booth or watching on TV. So, I think, you know what? I think Cam Newton's still a little dinged up. And if this kid keeps up, I mean, he's the surprise of the day yesterday. Not Daniel Jones or anybody else.
Yep.
I think this Kyler Murray was the surprise of the day. Nobody expected this to happen, and they win the football game.
Yeah, Kyler Murray for the Cardinals, he threw 2 interceptions.
I mean, not Kyler Murray.
Kyle Allen.
Kyle Allen.
Right.
Kyler Murray for the Cardinals. I mean, he looks like a decent quarterback, too. But I'm talking about Carolina. I didn't mean to get the name wrong. But that's a big win for them.
It's a huge, huge win, and the Panthers' first win, and it's on the road. I got a feeling that the Panthers under Coach Ron Rivera are going to put together a string of victories. So we'll take a look. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Now, one other thing before I get your last rights on the Chicago Cubs. Jalen Ramsey, the troubled defensive back for the Jacksonville Jaguars, called in sick saying he had the flu. This is a week after demanding a trade, and says that the flu might impact him all week long. What do you make of a guy letting his teammates down and not attending practice because he's got the flu? And I'm holding my
fingers
up.
That's why I love Eli Manning. And Eli Manning, I said that today. I went on Twitter and I said, you know, here's a guy that lost his gig.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy that's been a 2-time Super Bowl champ. But he's a mentor. He's helping this kid.
He could cry if he wanted to. He could try to get a trade. He could want to leave the Giants, but he's doing what a responsible pro does. Jalen Ramsey, and this is troubling that it's starting to happen in all the sports, the NBA, and now you're seeing this. But these guys don't realize they're hurting themselves at the end of the day. Bottom line is somebody tried to bring up the cultural thing or the race thing. Is it because no, 90% of the athletes in the National Football League are all like Eli Manning. You know?
Yeah.
It's just there's a couple bad apples.
Right.
I mean, there's mentors on every team. Sorry. There's great pros on every team. Allen Robinson's a great pro. Shows up to play. Good guy. Supports his team.
Excellent. You know, yep.
They're all over the place. So that's a bunch of crap. There's just a couple bad apples that are spoiling, but not the whole bunch. They're spoiling themselves.
All right. Well, I you know what? I am totally with you on that. You look at Johnny Manziel. Here's a guy that comes from a rich family. He gets into the NFL after a very, very good, brilliant college career. You know, Johnny touchdown and so forth. But he cannot control the demons within. He lets his team down. He wasn't attending meetings. He would be late, not paying attention. Clearly he had a problem with alcohol and who knows what else. And then he gets into trouble with domestic abuse allegations. Johnny Manziel, who has everything he could ever want in life and ruins it all. Just ruins it.
Yeah, and for the one Twitter guy, and he's a white boy. So quit playing the race card for everything. It happens in sports where guys get overcome with their fame and everything else, and Antonio Brown's one of them. There's no doubt. And this guy Ramsey's a terrific player. Oh, my God. I'd love to see the Bears get him.
Yeah.
He'd be as important in addition as Khalil Mack. I take the Prince. I love the Prince. But I whoever's starting corner on the other side, Fuller, he'd be out if we could get that guy. but I just don't understand what the point is. You have contracts, and you know what? I don't want to hear the nonsense. These guys get bonus money and everything else.
Yep, they sure do. Now, you were speaking about race. The Chicago Cubs are out of the pennant race. Fair to say?
Nice segue, my friend.
How do you like that, huh?
I never seen it quite heard it put that way, but yeah.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a stretch, right?
Well, we gotta worry about not overreacting, okay? They did lose 100 RBIs when Russell got hurt. Rizzo was down.
Yep.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I thought about the last couple days. I would trade Schwarber to the American League for a couple hot prospects. Elmore is gone. I've seen in the last month 4 balls go off his glove. He didn't catch one of them. And they need a center fielder. They need a left fielder. I'd keep Hayward and Wright. Bryant, it depends how much he wants. If this guy wants $300 million, get rid of him. All right? He's brittle. He's a little soft in my eyes. He had 31 home runs. Whoop-de-doo, everybody does. I mean, Schwarber had 37. I'd keep Javi. Zobrist, see you later. Keep Rizzo at first. He's a good defensive player, and he can still hit the ball. I'd keep Contreras. And they got some pitching, but, hey, Kimbrel killed them. Kimbrel killed them this year. That guy is a piece of you-know-what. And we got him for 3 years?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Wow.
The Cubs have made some panic signings that are really hurting them. And
Kimbrel wasn't a panic signing. He was a good signing because we needed a closer. But he's been horrible. I said today on Twitter, he reminded me of Dave Smith. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
He was so good with Houston. We got him. He couldn't get anybody out.
Unbelievable.
Kimbrel giving up back-to-back homers? Come on.
Yeah, but here's why I say it was a panic signing. Because first of all, why not just sign him for a one-year deal? Nobody else was signing him. Nobody else, the Cubs were bidding against themselves and give him a 3-year deal. And he had not pitched since last season because of an injury he had late last season. So there was concern that maybe he wasn't going to be the Craig Kimbrel that we saw with the Braves.
But you know what? I didn't hear any of it. You and I didn't read about it. We've done this show since they signed him.
True.
We didn't say, hey, I'm worried about the 3 years. We thought the kid was going to be good. It didn't work out that way. Now I'm with you. I wish the guy didn't have 3 years. I really do.
Mike, I have perfect 2020 hindsight vision.
Yeah, we're good at that, aren't we?
Yes.
But you know what? I mean, Eldo, I respect your opinion as much as anybody's, and you respect mine. We were on the show. We never said, well, it's too bad they gave him 3 years. Maybe they should have only given him one. We thought the guy basically was going to come through, didn't we? I know I did.
Yeah.
I remember us going, oh, this is a bad signing.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't expect him to be this bad, that's for sure.
No!
I mean, blowing game after
because
game.
Because remember, you know what? As it turns out, you know who we should have signed? Chapman.
Yeah.
That's who we should have signed after 2016.
Yep.
We haven't replaced that guy since.
Yep. And my buddy was just saying that the other day with all the money that they spent on Brandon Morrow and Craig Kimbrough, you could have given Chapman whatever he wanted and that would have
Tyler Chatwood?
Yeah. Oh my God, I forgot.
We spent fortunes. We should have just signed the guy Chapman. Yeah. All he can do is throw 100 miles an hour
and
people are afraid to even get in the batter's box against the guy.
Yeah, that's a slow ball, that 100 mile an hour pitch. Now,
what
do you make of the fact that the Cubs have the third worst away record, road record in the National League? Why is this team so bad on the road? And they play great at home until this final series with the Cardinals. But on the road, they just stink.
Well, the only thing I can attribute to is partying. Mm. I have no idea. I'm not with them. I don't know anything about them. I don't know if they stay up late. I do see them every so often on Twitter. You know, they showed. We talked about it. I think there was a mid-season one. They were in Pittsburgh or somewhere, and they were pouring drinks at a bar. And then they had another one where him and Lester and Schwarber walked in about 1-2 in the morning. But other than that, I mean, yeah, until they had all the injuries, it was weird. And that's why they ended up losing it. That's why they're not going. I mean, because of the road record, they couldn't take care of business on the road.
It is sad. We're not going to see postseason baseball in Chicago this season. Last year,
are we going to see Madden back or is he gone?
I'm sorry, who? Madden? Oh, yeah, I don't know, Mike. Will you tell me? I'm torn on this whole thing.
Well, he'll get picked up quick.
Oh, yeah.
We get rid of him. Who will we get that's better? Here's what I want. I want a manager that's going to have a set lineup, put the players at the positions that they've been raised from Little League on. Contreras at catcher. Bryan at third. Read the riot act to him at the beginning of the season. I mean, Bryant has only got 4 stolen bases. 4.
Wow.
The guy's fast. They never steal. He's got 1 triple. You know why? They Cadillac into second base.
Mm-hmm.
They never go for triples. They're just happy to hit the ball off the wall and Cadillac. I thought their hustle at times was less than stellar. I thought that playing people out of position was bad and not having a set lineup. They've never had a leadoff man. That's on the manager. I'd say he's got to go.
I agree 100% with you. When you look back at all the poor managerial decisions that he did this year, you just wonder, is this guy, is this time up? Every manager goes through good phases and bad phases.
He already is gone. They lost the team. He lost the team. They had injuries. Look, the act is over. The circus is leaving town. It's time to get somebody else in there. I don't want to go through another year of this. I don't want Contreras in right. I don't want Bryant in left. I don't want Haywood in center. I don't want, Zobrist leaving in the middle of the season. I mean, they had so much nonsense go on this year. And I'll say this about Zobrist, I'm glad he came back. But, man, thank God you're a ball player and you make all that money. Because the real people I know, when they get divorced, they got to go to work the next day. In fact, they're looking for another job.
Interesting. Yes. All right.
Let me ask you. When you went now, you think divorced people, when they get divorced, they take 2-3 months off work?
Hell no. Not the average guy.
Every person I know who's been divorced, believe me when I tell you this, we had to work more for the most part.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you've got additional expenses, but
absolutely. And And that, and you know what? Everybody's got divorce in their family. Okay? I got two brothers that are divorced. My brothers didn't take off 2 months, 3 months from their companies. So you know what? It's a different world, man.
It really is. Well, when you're rich,
guys get 2 weeks off with the wife having the baby now.
Yeah, that, I love that idea.
How about that?
Fortunately, I don't have any employees whose wives are pregnant. But Mike, give us the phone number, Vegas Scores and Odds, where people can call.
Let's go to work on Vegas Scores and Odds. The number one handicap site. The site of champions, ladies and gentlemen. You got Hollywood. You got Tony Sacco. You got all the guys. Go to the front page, Vegas Scores and Odds. Right now, I'm pacing in baseball, pacing in hockey, having a good run. Still one of the top handicappers over there. But we have some other guys that are doing a good job. I had a good week in college football going 2-1. So check out. And tonight's free line, folks. Tonight's free line for the Washington Bear game. Now, I got one up, okay, and then you got the free pick. The free pick tonight, 1-800-244-0710. 1-800-244-0710. Chicago, Washington, baby. Are you kidding me? Go to Vegas Scores and Odds, but write this number down, 1-800-244-0710. Don't forget, folks, we'll have the podcast up in about a half an hour to 45 minutes after our show. Make sure you retweet it to everybody. The folks from the Bears Barroom, follow VSAO. People from VSAO, follow the Bears Barroom. Everybody's reaping the benefits of our outstanding show here on Vegas Scores and Odds and the Bears Barroom Network.
I love it, Mike, and I'll leave.
It was about as good as it gets, wasn't it?
You are a master at those reads. I'm telling you, you're a master. I'm going to leave.
I love it. I love Vegas Scores and Odds. I love Bears Barroom. I love ESPN 1000. I love the Odds Couple. I love Eldo and Mike. I love it all.
I love you, Mike North. And I just want to leave our followers with one thing. Chicago is 5-1 straight up in their last 6 road games. So a little hope for us that we're going to make it 6-1 on the road game. Mike North, I love doing this show with you.
Bears 29, Redskins 17.
Woo! You heard it here, folks. You heard it here.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Check out the picks. Go to the picks. Make your picks. Buy your packages at Vegas Scores and Odds.
There you go.